was able to hide him. Then they put him in that little ark, that little basket thing. And then how God touched Pharaoh's daughter, not to listen to her dad and kill Moses, but Moses to take him home and to have Moses be fed and trained. I still think that's amazing. That's just a testimony of God's glory. How, you know, Pharaoh says, I want all the Jewish boys killed. And in one of his house, he's actually going to financially take care of him and train him and do all those things. And what he's doing, he's training the deliverer that someday was going to take the nation of Israel out of Egypt. I think that's amazing how God can use that and how God can do that. It just reminds us of how awesome God is, and we should declare his glory with our lives. But if we don't, he's going to do it on his own. So Exodus chapter number 6. This morning we're going to talk about Moses and Pharaoh, and the idea of this message and the main point of the message. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about hearing from God. Last week we focused on one particular part. This week we're going to focus on how to deal with difficult people. Anybody know a difficult person? A difficult person. So there's plenty of difficult people. And Pharaoh, he was a difficult person. So we're going to look at, like I said, scanning these chapters to just help us understand a few things that how we, when we deal with difficult people, how we're supposed to respond, what it is that we're supposed to do. And once again, if you're a difficult person, that's not good. You know, we want to be someone that the people can work with and that the Lord can use and that the Lord can bless and the Lord can, you can share your testimony. It's not a, and you say, well, I'm a difficult person. That's not a good testimony, okay? We want somebody that God can use to be a testimony. And if you're a difficult person, then sometimes that's something that can hinder your testimony. So we often are called to interact with difficult people in our lives. You know what the natural tendency to deal with when it comes to a difficult person? Ignore them. Leave them alone. Just let them say whatever they want to say and just go along with it or whatever. You know, all those different things. But what God tells us is that we are ambassadors. As a Christian, as a believer, as someone who has been saved, we are supposed to be ambassadors. Ambassadors to those that do not know Christ. And when you think about this story, Moses exemplifies meekness, which is strength under control. I mean, if we were like Pharaoh and we were like Moses and we went up and talked to Pharaoh after the first plague or second plague, we might be cocky after them. We might start doing this and that. And Moses over and over was very meek. He realized that God had sent him. He was an ambassador to Pharaoh. He did what God had told him to do. And I tell you, Christian, sometimes there are difficult people we have to deal with. Sometimes there are difficult people that we're going to face. But we've got to realize God has sent us into the world not to just reach the nice people. I mean, he didn't send us in the world just to reach those people we like or those people that have a certain group. No, he sent us to go into all the world and to preach and teach to every creature. And I tell you, some people act like a creature sometimes, but, you know, that's how we deal with these things. And Moses is he was sent. God sent him. God said, let my people go. And what God is looking for is he is looking for some people to speak for him. I mean, it's found out in the Bible. He tells us to teach the gospel. He tells us to preach the gospel. He tells us to minister other, to be forgiving others. There are some people that God wants us to talk to. He wants us to speak to. And this is what Moses is, he's saying here in 2 Corinthians 5:20. He says, now then we are ambassadors. Most of us would know ambassadors as someone who has been sent to a different area to represent their country. And that's what God's saying. I am sending you out into the world to represent me. When you go and you meet these other people, you go to these other areas, you are representing me. And that's what God, that's what happened here with Moses. When we look at this life, that is Moses, and he's dealing with this hard person, the idea of Pharaoh, says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray for you. And Christ said, be reconciled to God. And next one is, not only are we ambassadors, but we're witnesses. And Peter's here talking, and he says, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God have given to them that obey. So witnesses, what do? They testify of something they have knowledge of something that they have seen. And that's what Peter is going through, and Peter's saying, I've seen what God's done. And that's what we are. We're supposed to be a witness of what God has told us and what God has showed to us and what God has revealed to us. God wants us to be a witness for him of the things we've learned. So Moses had gave evidence that God had done this. Moses did not ask for this. God called him to go to Pharaoh. He didn't in my mind, you know, I know you're saying, well, at the beginning, we learned a few weeks ago how he wanted to be deliverer and how he killed that Egyptian and how he buried him. That's after 40 years in a desert. What did he say when God says, I'm going to send you to go? He started making up excuses. He says, they won't listen to me, Lord. They won't believe me. And, you know, who am I to do this? I'm slow of speech. This is something God had called him to do. And that's the same thing in our lives. When we look at being ambassadors and when we look at being witnesses, this is something God is called to do. Here's a couple of things hopefully that will help you this morning. First thing is the appeal of Moses. He spoke for God. He spoke for God. Look in Exodus chapter 6. Let's look here in verses 10 and 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. God said, I want you to go to Pharaoh. And he says, this is what I want you to say. So pretty much he was someone who spoke for God. When Moses entered Pharaoh's court, he demonstrated behavior that we ought to try to emulate. What do you mean? Well, God speaks to us. You think about it. God speaks to us and he wants us to speak to others. I don't know about you in your lifetime, but in my lifetime, God has come to me and spoken to my heart and says, go speak to so-and-so. And sometimes I don't really want to do it. Sometimes it's like, oh, Lord, they don't want to hear. Lord, I've done it before. Lord, and that's Satan that's trying to do something. Think about this. Satan uses three tools. First one is fear. You know, the idea, I'm worried about, we're not really worried about how they're going to react. Usually we're worried about how they're going to make us fear. Fear, pride, and procrastination. All three of these are big. For me, it's this procrastination one. Well, I can do it some other time. It's not the right time. It's not the appropriate time. But if God tells us to go and God speaks to our heart about speaking to somebody, we should not delay to speak for God. Moses delivered God's message that he told him to. And it's important to remember this, that Moses is speaking for God. Moses delivered the message. He did exactly what God told him to. Pharaoh wasn't who Moses was speaking for. He was speaking for God. You think about it. Moses is there. Pharaoh, probably the mightiest man at that time, had more control over any part of the world, and that at least is the area and the number of people. He was a very powerful man. He could have said, Moses, be killed. And, you know, why didn't he do that? I mean, after all these different things, you know, God protected him, God preserved him, God was preparing. That goes back to our first lesson. But God tells him, I want you to go speak. And it's not an easy thing. Pharaoh is not an easy person to deal with. Pharaoh is going to be a very difficult person to deal with. And sometimes in our own lives, God tells us, go, speak. We want you, like, pastor, you know, like, Lord, I don't like it. I'm fearful. They don't want to hear it. We're speaking for God. We're not speaking because for ourselves. We're speaking because God has told us to do it. We're relaying a message. We're giving the instruction that God has given to us. Like I said, Moses here, he made every excuse he could not to have to go to Pharaoh. But God said, I want you to go. And he went and he brought hope to the people. Think about what it says in Psalms 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple. If there's a difficult person you have to deal with and we go to talk to them, you know what? The entrance of God's word, that's the only thing that's going to give them light. That's the only hope they have. That's the only hope for change. You know, it's not like, hey, let's reach a compromise. No, it's God's word that comes and makes a difference. And the Bible even says in Isaiah 55:11, you might say, but I've done it so often, I've done it so many times, why should I keep on doing it? The Bible tells us, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. This is a perfect example of the story of Moses. How many times did he have to go? Multiple times, 10 different times. For us, first time would have been great and done. But Moses had to keep on going back. And we say, well, I had to keep on going back and I had to keep on going. That person is a difficult person. That person is hard to deal with. Moses understood that God was telling him to do something. Same thing we need to understand. God is saying that his word will not return to me void. If you go out in the Spirit of God and use God, fill with the Spirit of God, presenting God's word to the people that he's called you to present it to, you know what? It's not going to return void. Now look at this next phrase. But it shall accomplish that which I please. Now he's saying, it's going to get done what I want it to get done. It's going to accomplish what I've called it to accomplish. It's going to do, and like I said, most of us would have said, okay, God, why did you send Moses back time after time after time after time? It was accomplishing what God wanted to get accomplished. So don't ever think that just because you may help somebody, or you may pass out a gospel tract, or you may say to somebody, hey, what about this? Or give somebody the gospel, or talk to somebody about the truth. Don't ever think that it's not going to make a difference. The Bible says that it will make a difference. It's making the difference that God wants to make a difference with, and what God is using to do. And you know, Pharaoh will start off saying, who is the Lord? I don't know your God. And God pretty much shows him who he is throughout all these different times. And God is accomplishing his purpose. You think about this, accomplishing which I please. The 10 different plagues. Remember when they end up in Jericho? We've been studying Joshua on Wednesday night. Rahab the harlot, what's she saying? We've heard about what happened to you. We heard about the plagues. We heard about the Red Sea. God was establishing a testimony through Moses going back time after time after time after time. Could the Israelites, God put some type of cloud there between him and Israel, and then Israel gets escaped? Yes, God could have done anything. But God chose to do this to establish and show his people, but also not only show his people, but the Egyptians and Pharaoh specifically, who God was. And Moses is dealing with a difficult person. We don't always understand. Why do we have to deal with difficult people? Wouldn't it be nice if everybody was nice like me or nice like this person? Wouldn't it be great? You know what? God's not always going to get the glory that way. God wants us to reach out to each and every person. Remember, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word of God that if we faithfully in public preaching and teaching in personal and in private can be assured that we're doing the work of God. And it's important. The Bible even says, hold fast the form of sound words, this that which I have heard of me. So think about it here. He spoke for God. I want you to remember that. That's a key that's important. Keep that close to your mind. When you're speaking to people, you are being an ambassador. If President Obama or President-elect Donald Trump sends somebody over to North Korea to sign some type of deal to represent them, and they go and say whatever they want, they're going to lose their job. I mean, it's just, that's all, and that's what we are. We're ambassadors. We're representations of Christ. Yes, he sends us sometimes to difficult people. Sometimes he lets us live with difficult people. Sometimes he lets difficult people enter churches. But this is, you know, we're speaking for God. We are speaking for God. Next thing I want you to think about is, not only did he speak for God, he spoke for God's people. As the story progresses, Moses acts like a representative for God's people also. It's not just, he is speaking for God, but he sees he has a people group that God wants him to represent. While it's true that many see Moses as a leader and an emancipator, we also see him as an advocate for the downtrodden. Now, let's think about it here. These people have been in Egypt for over 400 years. We don't know at what point in time that they made them slaves. We know it happened a little while ago. They've been suffering. We know it happened all during the time when Moses was there. So we know it's been at least 40 years. And before that, because they did it for a little while, and then they realized that they were still multiplying and still getting stronger. So now they want to kill the baby. So we know it at least has been 50 years. And Moses is now an advocate. So when we're dealing with hard people, there's some things we need to remember. We're speaking for God. Secondly, sometimes there's people that we need to stand up for. And the Bible even says, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble mind, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Not everybody had access to Pharaoh. He was a representative, and he stood up for all these people. Proverbs 14:31 says, he that oppresseth the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Now, let's remember, there's some people here that we're speaking for. And when we're dealing with difficult people, you know, that difficult person might be living in that house. And sometimes this is a little bit tough because you know certain situations, you know certain dads or certain moms, maybe kids come to church, parents don't. And, you know, mom and dad or dad or mom might not be the person that we want them to be. I know Miss Broyles talks about in her classroom sometimes, pray for the parents, please. And that is the truth sometimes. But how are we going to help that child? We're not going to change mom and dad, and we cannot take mom and dad's authority away. That's unscriptural. But what we can do is we can speak for God, and we can speak on someone's behalf. And I'm not telling you to go to somebody who says, you're raising your kid wrong. No. What do we bring to them? We bring the words of God to them. We bring entrance of the light of the word of God, and we try our best to try to help them spiritually. So that way, if God changes them, praise the Lord, then maybe they won't be a difficult person. Now, there are some saved people that are difficult people. There are times that people might think I'm difficult. And Miss Carol's laughing because Miss Carol thinks that happens twice a year when we do the Easter cantata and the Christmas cantata. We work together on that. And there's some people that are just difficult. And that's but you know what? There is, we speak. You remember, here's the whole idea of the message is that, you know, what do we do with difficult people? And I'm hoping, because most of you have knowledge of the Word of God, most of you have knowledge of the story that we're spanning so many chapters. But if you didn't know, Moses is dealing with somebody difficult. Look what it says here at the end of the chapter here. It says here in verses 29 and 30, that the Lord, chapter 6, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said, therefore, the Lord, behold, my uncircumcised lip, how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? So you say, what's going on? Once again, you see God is giving him the responsibility to go and do. Moses knew that his people were downtrodden and oppressed. He felt compassion for them. He wanted to see them free. Compassion means that you feel a person's hurt in your own heart. Moses did not just feel sorry for his people. He saw that they were hurting, and he did his best to be able to make a difference in his life. He wanted to help his people any way that he could. And more importantly, he knew that he didn't know, if he did not obey God's word, that there might be some type of punishment towards his people. You say, where do you see that at? Well, you go to chapter 5 and verse number 3. Moses is there, and he's talking to the Pharaoh. And this is his first meeting. And in verse number 5, chapter 5, verse number 3, says, and they said, the God of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go and pray 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And Moses is saying this to Pharaoh. He believes. He's like, God has told us this is what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to keep on doing this. He wants us to go sacrifice for 3 days in the wilderness. So when he's speaking on their behalf, he's saying to them, okay, this is what... this is what we need to do, because if not, God's going to punish us. So I think Moses was saying to Pharaoh, look, you know, we're not just asking this because this is what we want to do. Of course, they wanted to be freed. But at the same time, he's like, we fear our God, and God is telling us to do this. This is why we're going to do what we're going to do. Same thing in our lives. You know, this sometimes when I talk to people, and sometimes especially with difficult people, I says, look, in God's word, he's given me a responsibility. He's given me a commandment. Even as a pastor, as an overseer, you know, there's certain things I have to do with sometimes difficult people. And I show them from the word of God, this is not like I want to do this, but this is what God wants us to do. And this is what God wants us to be. This is what God's going to bless. This is what God's going to use. This is what's going to make a difference. So he spoke for God, but he also spoke on behalf of the people. I think of Amy Carmichael, of a person seeing the need and taking the lead. She had gone to India for a number of years and worked with a godly family. And then one day she met this little girl. I think her name was Pearl. And Pearl had been given over to the temple as a temple slave. Most times temple slaves, little girls became temple prostitutes. And this little girl had ran away once and got beaten for it. I think even maybe ran away a second time and gotten beaten for it. The third time, one of the two times, she actually had met Amy on the way. And she remembered Amy, and then the third time when she got free, or the second time, whichever time it was, she went to Amy, and Amy had became her mama in a sense, and opened up an orphanage. And it said because of her testimony, thousands over the years, temple girls, girl prostitutes had been relieved, saved, because someone saw. And we have a little movie, a little cartoon that we show the kids about Amy Carmichael. And there's this temple girl, and she's running through hundreds of people. And it's according to the story, no one else cared, but she cared. And it's important to remember that. It's that when we see people's need and we let it hurt our hearts. Now, I'm not talking about doing things unbiblical. I'm not talking about you going and trying to change the difficult people's lives, what they're doing. No, I'm talking about you going and, if God speaks to your heart, talking to difficult people about God. Not shying away from your responsibility. How do I deal with them? We give them the word of God. We speak for God, but also we speak on the behalf of other people. Second thing I want you to see about is the arrogance of Pharaoh. And I guess this is the main point in all reality, the appeal of Moses. You know, in our schedule next week, where in our schedule does it have, I want to talk to somebody about God? Where on our schedule next week does it say, I'm going to spend time trying to reach somebody, whether somebody I know or I don't know? I know we have scheduled visitation times. I'm not even saying that to be right with God, you have to be here for every scheduled visitation time. But you consider your calendar next week. Is there anywhere on it that I plan on talking to somebody about God? And I'm not talking about inside the church house. I know God brings opportunities. I know that. But he tells us to go into the world. Is there somewhere, some way I'm going to reach out to somebody? Because if not, I think we should challenge ourselves by looking in the Bible and say, you know what? Am I doing what God wants me to do with my time? If I can say in the next 7 24-hour periods, I don't really plan on contacting anybody, talking to anybody, passing out a track, then let's think about that. Is that what God wants us to do and be? Next thing I want you to think about is the appeal of Moses. But I want you to think about the arrogance of Pharaoh. And you know, some of you guys might say, well, I know some pretty difficult people. Pharaoh was a very difficult person. Some of the things that motivates Pharaoh, and I want you to think about pride, first of all. Last week, we saw how God blessed Moses and how he worked through him, and how God, he feared God, and how he humbled spirit, and how God took and changed him out in the wilderness. But the difference here with Pharaoh, no matter how many plagues he sent, no matter how many problems he caused him to have, you know what happened? He still wasn't willing to change. You know, even because of his own nation, his stubbornness. Look at Exodus chapter number 10, verse 7. It's up here on the board. They've gone through a few plagues here. Pharaoh's own people says, and Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet? Then Egypt is destroyed. His servants, the people that are there, the people that are watching what's going on, saying, just let him go. Egypt's already been destroyed. Egypt's already been ruined. He says, knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? He says, what else can happen to us? But Pharaoh, and one of the reasons why Pharaoh was not able to relieve the nation of Israel, let them go, is because he was prideful. I want you to understand something. When we deal with difficult people, we got to understand the root problems. One of the root problems is pride. When we are a difficult person, you know what? We need to remember this. One of our root problems is pride. So when we talk to people and they're difficult people that we're trying to associate with and trying to work with, you know, it begins with this up here. Pharaoh says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. That was the first thing he said to Moses. He says, who is the Lord? And then, you know what? God shows him. He spends the next however many chapters, the next however many days saying, I'll show you who the Lord is. In Exodus chapter 7, verses 22-23, the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. If you look at a few of the first plagues, the magicians, they could actually do the same thing. But you notice they couldn't stop it, though, either. You know, they might have been able to represent or resemble those things. And sometimes people will be prideful and say, well, I do this and I do that. Well, the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went to his house. Neither did he set his heart to this also. Sometimes difficult people that are motivated by pride, no matter what happens, you know what's going to happen? Their pride is so much built up, and then they're just going to turn around and walk away. Not even to consider that God had just turned their water to blood, that God had just brought frogs that invaded the country. You know, none of that is considered. And it's important to remember that he was motivated by pride. Pride is a very dangerous thing. Listen what the word pride is. It says, a feeling that you're more important than other people. And that's important to remember. Think about warning signs of pride. Only by pride cometh contention. I read that this morning. And that verse always gets me, because you know what? There's contention, there's friction, there's fighting all over the place. But the Bible says the only way that can come is when someone's prideful. So try, and if you're having contention or friction with somebody that's a difficult person, make sure that it's not you that has the pride. Also, you think about, not only is it contention is a warning sign, foolish speaking. Think about what it says in Proverbs 14:3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. So in the mouth of the foolish, there's a rod of pride. Strife. The Bible says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. So you see someone who stirs up strife. You see someone who's causing contention. You see someone who is speaking foolishly. You know, those are warning signs that there's some pride in their life. There's some warning signs that think that they have more to say and they know more than someone else, and that you should listen to them and not be considering anything else. That's a difficult person. And I don't know about you, but some of us live with difficult people. Some of us have to deal with difficult people, but this is the root of it. Pride is a damaging sin. You know, it's amazing how much pride can actually do and how much problems that pride can cause. It can definitely hold back revival. It can definitely cause people to have the wrong type of thought life and the wrong process. You know, where did pride begin with and originate with? It was the devil. Remember when he says he's going to take his throne up above the Lord, up above God. You know, when he said in Isaiah, he said, I will ascend up to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And also, pride is a deceptive sin. Lots of people can see if there's a prideful person, all but one individual, the person that has the pride. It's very deceptive. It's something that sometimes people can keep and carry, not even realize in their own self-righteousness, that they don't even realize they're prideful. And I think the Pharisees were people like that. Important. Check yourselves. Take heed unto yourselves. We're going to talk about that a little while in our morning service. Make sure you're not a person that's full of pride. Are you a person that is trying to stir up contention or strife? Are you a person that says foolish things? Because the Bible says those are warning signs. Those are signs that there's some pride that we must deal with. Remember, the God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Now, I want you to also understand, a healthy sense of self-respect is not pride. Appreciation for what others do and the kindness that they show is not pride. Self-righteousness is pride. Thinking yourself more important. And you say, a self-respect, I know sometimes people walk around like, woe is me, and they try to act all lowly and try, I can't do anything, I can't do, you know what? With God, I can do all things. And that God, with the Holy Spirit of God living in us, God can do great and mighty things for us and through us. Remember, a proud look is one of those seven things that the Bible says God hates. Next thing I want you to think about is not only was motivated by pride, but he was motivated by prejudice. He was motivated by prejudice. If you take your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 8, Exodus chapter number 8, verse number 25. He was prejudiced. Pharaoh said his way had to be the right way. Children of Israel used all to surrender to his will. Moses knew that God had told him what to do, and he was not going to give in. You see here in this story that Pharaoh tries to convince Moses to do something different. Look what it says in verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye there and sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet to do, for we shall sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians to our Lord our God. So, lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? So, he's saying, Pharaoh says, okay, stay in Egypt, go do your sacrifices. Moses says, we can't do that. That's not what God told us to do, but also, when the Egyptians see us killing our animals, which, once again, they believed in reincarnation, so they didn't want you to kill the animals, he said the Egyptian would stone us. And Pharaoh is saying, it has to be done my way. It's only the Egyptian way. And as we make decisions, we must be sure that we are basing them on what God's word dictates. And that's why Moses here, he's not willing to compromise. It says verse number 27, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. God had commanded them. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses says no. And Moses continues on, and he is standing up for what is right. Now, I think it's important to understand that sometimes people are going to be prejudiced against Bible-believing Christians. The reality is that we are in a minority. Maybe it wasn't that way before, but it is now. We're looked down upon. But even throughout all the Bible, there was people that were in minorities, and they encounter prejudice. Think about Abel. Cain kills Abel. Why? Because Abel did the right thing, and I don't know how the story went. The Bible doesn't exactly tell us that, but while he was in the field, Cain rose up and killed Abel. Why? Because Abel listened. And you know what? When we stand and do what's right, we're going to face that. Joseph, he faced ridicule from his brothers. because of the fact that he was just doing what God had told him to do, and what he was trying to do things that were right. Gideon, you know, when God called him and said, you know, I'm the lowest of the low in all these tribes of Israel. How come you call me? You know, people were prejudiced against him because the amount of money he had and the position he had in that land in that time. We got to remember that when we deal with difficult people, sometimes they're going to be filled with pride. Sometimes they're going to be filled with prejudice. What do they need? They need the Word of God. They need the Bible. They need to let God make the change. But we cannot stand fast on something that we don't know if it's true or not. We must make sure that we are standing with the Word of God, believing what the Word of God says, demonstrating what the Word of God says. It's not just our preferences. It's not just how we feel. It's what the Bible says. And that's what Moses here. Moses would have been tempted to compromise. Oh, you know what? Sacrificing in Egypt is better than not sacrificing at all. Sacrificing with just the men and leaving the kids and the women behind is better than not sacrificing at all. You know, but no. Moses says, I'm going to stand, I'm going to do what's right. And when standing and doing what's right means something, it means that you're going to face prejudice sometimes. And probably all of us have faced different types of prejudice in this room. Some maybe to greater extent, some to smaller extents. But the Bible shows us how Moses responds to that. You know, sometimes when you go out to be a witness, sometimes people are going to treat you wrongly. They're going to treat you with disdain. They're going to treat you with hatred sometimes. You know what? How does Moses respond here? How does Moses respond to Pharaoh? Does not compromise. He is always kind to him. He is always just respectful, always acting like that ambassador for God. Next thing I want you to see is the anger of God. You said, anger of God. Yes, there is a righteous anger that God has here. The Bible says God is love in 1 John 4:8. He says but in also Malachi, he says he never changes. So if God is love, he never changes, then how can he also punish people? But he is also a consuming fire. He can hate. Who can hate? With his blatant rebellion against God, he's talking about Pharaoh here, and his brutal oppression of God's people, Pharaoh brought the wrath of God upon himself and his nation. And you say, man, how can God be so mean about killing all this? How much time did God give Pharaoh? Any of those 10 plagues, he could have stopped and said, you know what? He is the one true God. Well, let's take the whole nation of Egypt and let's look to the one true God. I mean, after you got blood for the water, after you got all the flies, after you got all the frogs, after you got all the darkness, after they have wiped out all their crops, wiped out all their cattle, after all those things, don't you think he would have said, you know, this guy is true. This God is more powerful than any of these other gods. He doesn't. Judgment was decreed. You look here in chapter number 11. Judgment is decreed. Moses tells him what's going to happen. Chapter number 11, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet I will bring one plague more upon Pharaoh. And most of us know what that one plague was. The arrogance of Pharaoh, he doesn't care. He says, one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of his neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. He said, well, they're stealing from them. When all reality, all the work they had been doing for all those years, they're just getting their wages. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. Now listen to what it says here. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against a man or beast, that ye may know how the Lord hath put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites and Israel. So there is a difference that God has made there. There are people who will join the land of Israel, you know, that the Egyptians could turn to the one true God. Now listen what it says. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. So we see here that there was a judgment decreed. But also there was a salvation that was scorned. You know, he tells us later on about the, and most of us know the story, how they put the blood around the door, on the doorpost, that they would not have the child be put to death or the animals put to death. But you know what? It was scorned. Salvation was scorned. Salvation was accepted. And that's chapter 12, verses 21 through 28, talks about the nation of Israel and those who put the blood and how that none of them were affected by it. And the praise the Lord, there is a coming judgment. There has been a judgment that's been decreed in this world. The Bible tells us that if we die without Christ, we're going to spend an awful eternity in a horrible place called hell. It's been decreed. We've already been judged. According to John chapter 3, that, you know, we've already been sentenced. It's only when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ that we are liberated from that sentence, that we are freed from that penalty of sin. I know some of you had to step out, but we're almost done here. So for those that don't have to step out because of special things. So salvation was accepted as a beautiful testimony that if you put your faith and trust in the blood, and we're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ for us, they were talking about the blood of a lamb, which represent the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what's going to happen? You know what? You're going to be free. Yeah, and here the judgment was delivered. You know, that day when judgment came, there's two different things that happened. One was a cry, and one was of praise. One was of sorrow because of the fact that they scorned the salvation of God. They scorned the opportunity to save their children, save the firstborns. But there's others that were praising because they had listened to God and they were out now. I want to encourage you today. I know these stories and these plagues are sometimes confusing to people. And we're not really talking about that as much as we are talking about how to deal with difficult people. And you say, why do I need to deal with a difficult person? Because judgment has been decreed. There is judgment. Everyone will face that judgment someday. And there will be someday judgment delivered. And someday there will be those that are sorrowful in hell and those that are praising in heaven. Just like Lazarus and the rich man. You say, you believe there's a real hell and a real heaven? I sure do. The Bible tells us and teaches that. The Bible teaches that I believe it. So what do we get from all this? Well, when we deal with difficult people, we got to remember we're speaking for God. Even when you're in your home and your children are being difficult. I know your kids are never difficult. Or maybe your husband or your wife is being difficult. I know they never are difficult either. But you're a spokesman for God. You're an ambassador, even inside your own house. But you're also speaking for, many times, other people. And championing the cause for those that are weak. Those that cannot maybe stand for themselves. Remember that. There is also the arrogance of Pharaoh. Boy, he was a very arrogant person. Who is the Lord that I should know him? Even, you know, it wasn't like, okay, Moses, why do you need, no. Who is the Lord? I'm not going to. And then he punishes them and even gives them harder work to do. But what does God do? God reveals himself. Just like God can do to a difficult person or an arrogant person or a person that is humble. God reveals himself to him. He shows him through the plague, shows him through Moses, continues to just say no, continues to just say no. And then judgment is delivered. And then judgment is decreed and delivered. We need to try to reach out to everyone. Not because we want to, but as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. To reach out to people and say, you know what? God loves you. God died for you. There's a way to heaven. He can help you. He can change you. But do we do that? This upcoming week, do we have in the next 7 days anywhere to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ? If not, let me encourage you to figure out how and when you're going to share the gospel with someone else. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for those people that are here. Lord, I pray you speak to their hearts. I know you've spoken to mine because I know some.